Well, she'd have to be one of the most fearless reporters I've ever been lucky enough to work with over many, many years. I used to sit next to her at the Herald.
Is that right?
Yeah, now she's...
I heard you used to cower as well.
She used to scare me a little bit. She's a force of nature, Jack, and we've got her on the line now. Morning, Jacqueline.
And that's just trying to elbow my way to the bar.
Oh. Yeah, well done. Well done.
Yeah,
well
yeah,
done.
Yeah. Yeah, let's keep it nice and respectable. Well, what do you think of Andy Murray, Jack? Big news over there, obviously, in England. I'm sure that the papers went mad.
Yes, they have. And anything that's not Brexit is warmly welcomed here. Andy Murray, when he announced the other day that he was so injured and he didn't think that he would get or hobble all the way to Wimbledon, which is where he felt he wanted to finish his career. Of course, the papers and the reaction here just was crazy. And you were right, 12 pages of stories about Andy Murray then appeared in the Daily Telegraph here. The Times, I think, was just as many, and every single paper just went crazy about it. So that just shows you the depth of reverence, I suppose, for Andy Murray, perhaps also underscoring how tennis places itself in the British psyche. They're going to have a statue of him in Wimbledon. And, of course, it was all laid out for this kind of perhaps a retirement announcement last night. Mm. And as we're seeing, that didn't happen. And he's now talking about perhaps having surgery and having perhaps a very long shot at being able to come back and play competitively. I don't think anyone who's had this surgery has been able to return at the same level. They might be able to hobble through a doubles game, but certainly not to play singles. So everybody thinks that he's just delaying the inevitable, that he will retire, but they want him to allow him to have the space to make that decision himself, and he said that he'll make a decision about whether to have that operation in the next week or so.
Yeah.
So that's huge news over here. Everybody's really hoping, as we saw in that game last night, the fighting spirit, the way he just came back from two sets down to force the tie break and to force it into the next set. I mean, everyone just really admires that about him. So
I'm sure there would have been a bit of emotion in that last night saying, you know, I don't want to leave on this note. But it was an incredible performance for him to be able to at least claw his way back. Now, one thing that's reared its head and we've been talking about this morning is Bernard Tomic, his loss to Marin Cilic. But it wasn't so much that, but the press conference afterwards when he teed off at Leighton Hewitt.
Yes, that's been bubbling along in the background for a couple of days now, with Kokkinakis having to fight his way through not getting a wild card and having to go through the qualifying draw to get into the Open. And of course, he's very close to Nick Kyrgios and Bernard Tomic. And there is this feeling, and they've exposed, I think, a very valid criticism and questions to be asked of Tennis Australia. Is that why is Leighton Hewitt allowed to both play and be captain? Why is he allowed to be part of a management team that has a whole lot of players that are getting positions and spots? And where is the independence of the Davis Cup captain? I'm not taking anything away from Leighton Hewitt being, you know, such a great national player and somebody who really, you know, gave his all when he played for his country. But there has to be a distinct line there about duties and who's accountable to what. And I don't see those lines at the moment.
So you reckon it's a bit blurred?
I think it's definitely blurred. And I think Tennis Australia needs to come out and make a clear statement about where those lines are and what's acceptable and what's not. And to reassure the public and the sponsors that somebody is not getting favourable treatment and allowed to just run off and do their own thing without any scrutiny or accountability.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting story. I'm sure it'll bubble along again today because it's all anyone's really talking about out of last night's Australian Open action. What's happening with Man United? Who's going to coach the Red Devils beyond this season?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, 6 wins out of 6. I mean, he's in the box seat, isn't he? And but, of course, Pochettino is the man that was supposed to be going to be the replacement. So there's now this pressure on the board as to what they do because Solskjaer has the support of the fans and also of the dressing room. And the players have been incredibly supportive of him, saying that how he brings happiness to the dressing room. And obviously in the way that they're playing with so much more freedom and, you know, so much more attacking football, it's such a pleasure to watch them now after the constraints of the last few years. So I think that the board, there's murmurs now that they're revisiting what they may have originally been planning. And, of course, there was a little bit of a left-field suggestion too, that the England manager, Gareth Southgate, might also be a candidate. But I think that it's really down to the two, Solskjaer and Pochettino, but still to see how that plays out.
Two things about that. The temporary coach always has an easier run, you know, doing it week in, week out and having the criticism. And one of the great names, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Fantastic. You've got to say that. I tried to say that in the news last night and I got it right, fortunately. Now, Tokyo, talking Olympics, dodgy dealings, hey, sport and politics and some maybe brown paper bags.
I know. Well, I'm trying to think of an Olympic city that hasn't had a controversy that's arisen several years after they've won, you know, the right to host the Games, because it seems to emerge after some time that there was, you know, brown paper bags involved somewhere at some level. And for the Tokyo 2020 bid that so far has really escaped scrutiny, the French prosecutors have now laid charges against the head of the Japanese Olympic Committee. And they're investigating where €2 million went and that is so far unaccountable. Now, the Japanese are saying there's nothing untoward that went on and we can explain it and they're happy to explain it. But the fact that the prosecutors have opened this case now and the IOC has also acknowledged that this case is proceeding suggests that there is some legal steps and status involved in these claims and that it's not just going to go away very quickly.
After all the scandals that have happened at an IOC and Olympic level, I couldn't believe anyone would take a massive backhander again.
I know. It's kind of almost like the doping issue, isn't it? When you had all the Festina scandal with cycling, you think, gee, how can these cyclists ever get caught taking drugs ever again? Mm. There's so much scrutiny of them, and yet it just seems to just ratchet up even more. You know, quite incredible. But the 2026 Winter Olympic Games hosts have been selected today. Two cities have put forward their candidatures, and it looks like it's going to be between Stockholm and Milan.
Wow.
So, lovely.
But once it looks like it'll go back to Europe and to areas where there's probably lots of snow.
Two tough places to go and report from as well, I'm sure, Jack. You'd take your choose, take your pick
that
out of those ones.
It is my contract to go to the Winter Olympics.
Of course it is. Of course it is. My only worry is about that $2 million. I thought it would have been more on the take if that's the case for the Japanese guys. If they're going to have a go, they may as well have a real go. Jacqueline, thank you very much for your time this morning, and we look forward to seeing, you know, what Andy Murray's going to do, because, again, that was an emotional call afterwards, I suppose. But if he can make it to a farewell in Wimbledon, that would be quite impressive to say goodbye to his fans over there.
Yes, I think that's what he wants to do, but, you know, his body might be saying something else.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for your time. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye.